You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
How does a gorgeous girl in her early 20s just drop off the face of the earth and we have no idea what happened? I'm not buying that for 1 minute. And I want to know what happened to Andy Wagner. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Crime Stories and on SiriusXM 111. First of all, Andy Wagner last heard from on August the 6th. What happened? Listen.
Elaine Garcia planned to come back to Evansville, Indiana, to pick up her oldest daughter, Andy Wagner, and take her back to Texas, where the two would live together. Those plans have now changed, and Garcia has moved back to Evansville to search for her oldest daughter. Andy Wagner was last seen weeks ago on August 6th, and other than a text message that same day, Wagner has not had any contact with family members or friends. Her mother is worried because Andy Wagner was extremely excited about the move to Texas.
Okay, you're hearing from our friends at CrimeOnline.com, and with me right now, an all-star panel to make sense of where is Andy. Joining us is Andy's mother, Elaine Garcia. Now, if you want to find her online, you can go to Answers for Andy and be Andy's voice. Elaine, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Nancy.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to figure out you going to Evansville to get your daughter. I mean, I'd go to the end of the earth to get my daughter or my son, Lucy or John David, if they wanted to come home. The end of the earth. I would fight through chewing gum to get to them. So you go, your daughter wants to come home, wants to come move home with you, and you go to Evansville to bring her home. What happened?
2 weeks. I had spoken to Andy a few weeks before, and I had told her she was crying, you know, and she said, Mommy, I need to get out of here. If I don't get out of here, this place is going to swallow me whole. She said, I want to be back with you. She said, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of hurting. And I'm not getting any support here. I said, baby, at the time I was working at the penitentiary. So, you know, they're kind of strict. So I said, baby, if you can just wait for 2 weeks, mama, just wait 2 weeks. I will be there. And she said, okay. 2 weeks before I get there, she disappears.
Oh, Miss Garcia.
And you don't understand how much I'm so mad at myself. Why didn't I just pick up and go?
I know that you're thinking what you could have done differently, but Miss Garcia, she understood how much you loved her. What happened is not your fault. In fact, if it weren't for you, we wouldn't even be trying to find Andy. We wouldn't even know she was missing. We would know nothing. So she tells you she wants to move home with you. So you have a day off from work. What, do you drive all the way to Evansville?
Yes.
How long of a drive was that?
12, 13-hour drive.
Did you go by yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
In your car?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of car were you driving?
A Santa Fe.
So you take off from Texas. Where in Texas?
Wichita Falls, Texas.
And you set off on about a 13-hour drive to Evansville, Indiana, to get your daughter. Why did she go to Evansville to start with?
I actually moved here when the girls were younger, so they could be closer to their dad, because we would meet in Joplin. During, you know, school when they were out or whatever. So I thought, you know, so I left my family and friends because I wanted my girls to be closer to their dad. I didn't want them to have that void of not having their dad in their life.
So let me understand, you spoke to her. She goes, Mommy, I want to come home. I want to move home with you. And you say, I'll be there in 2 weeks to get you. When was the last time you actually spoke to her verbally?
It might have been 2-3 weeks before she had called me.
Okay, let me understand. She goes missing August 6th. So you're saying 2 weeks before that you spoke to her. Did she know you were on your way?
Yes, she knew.
How did she know?
No, she didn't know I was on my way. She knew that I was going to be there in 2 weeks.
Okay, I understand. So you tell her, this is the day I'm coming. Okay, when you get to Evansville, what, if anything, do you find?
Nothing. I didn't know she was missing until her little sister posted it on Facebook. And when I seen it, I called.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Did you make it to Evansville?
Yes.
Okay.
After the fact, after I found out she was missing.
So, Ms. Garcia, you travel across the country, and you are to pick Andy up where?
From her grandparents' house.
Do you go to the grandparents' house?
Yes.
When you get there, what facts do you learn?
That she had been gone, that they hadn't heard from her in like 2 weeks.
So almost immediately after you speak with her and tell her you're going to come get her at her request, that's basically the last time she's heard from?
From me, yes.
What about the grandparents? Did they hear from her after that?
Not after the 6th, no.
How about her sister? Did she hear from Andy after the 6th?
No.
Joining me right now, in addition to Andy Wagner's mom, Elaine Garcia, is Steve Mailing, joining us out of Evansville, Indiana, reporter 14 News in Evansville, the NBC affiliate. Steve Mailing, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Nancy.
So Elaine travels across the country. She gets all the way there, and no one has seen or heard from Andy since August 6th. It's reported to police. What happens then, Steve Mailing?
So when people go missing, obviously police file the report. They follow up on tips and leads. You know, something that we typically see in this area, especially with missing people, sometimes they tend to pop back up, you know, maybe a couple days after the fact. So initially, Evansville police may send out something on social media letting people know that this person is missing. This is who they're looking for. With Andy, that seemed to happen, but we didn't ever, you know, that post was never taken down, or there was never an update that said, hey, she's been found. And from there, you know, they obviously launched an investigation into her disappearance. And they, you know, last update from them, when I last spoke with them on October 12th, they said that the investigation is still active. So, you know, over a year of her missing, and they're still, according to Evansville police, they're still talking with her mom to try to look at any new leads, but they haven't turned up any new developments.
Take a listen to this.
2 weeks before her mother is to arrive in Indiana to take her back to Texas, Andy Wagner goes to her grandparents' house and packs a bag. Andy Wagner is only at the house for about 10 minutes, then leaves with a packed bag. Later that day, she texts her family. Andy often stays with friends in surrounding areas, including the Oakland City area, but she always answers her phone. So when her sister, Alex Wagner, and her mother, Elaine Garcia, try for several days to reach her by phone and fail, they reach out to the Evansville Police Department and file a missing person report on August 12th.
You know, interesting, there is a thing called routine evidence. And by routine evidence, I don't mean typical evidence or run-of-the-mill evidence. I mean evidence of routine. For instance, if I didn't show up to this studio and sit down with a full knowledge of the facts as we know them now, that would be extremely uncharacteristic. It would be out of my routine. When every morning you get off and you get up and you turn on the coffee maker, that's your routine. The fact that she suddenly quit returning texts and phone calls is very, very significant.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Joining me is Alan Bennett from Texas, former felony prosecutor, now partner at Gunter, Bennett, and Anthus. Alan, thank you for being with us. Weigh in on what you've heard so far. So she comes to the grandparents' house where she lives. She packs a quick, like, overnight bag. She leaves. Everyone fully expects her to come right back. They believe she's going to visit a friend, waiting on her mom to come get her. And she's never seen or heard from again and quits returning texts.
Well, Nancy, thank you again for having me on your show. I always appreciate your opportunity to be here. Thank you also for continuing to keep this case in the national spotlight where it deserves to be. One thing I think should be clear to your podcast listeners, when we keep saying August 6th, we're talking about August 6th of 2022, a year and 3 months ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Secondly, Ms. Garcia, God bless you and your family, and I hope we continue to keep them in our prayers and thoughts and wish for a speedy return of Andy.
Thank you.
Well, as just mentioned a moment ago, I can't speak specifically to law enforcement in your jurisdiction or the operation of the FBI in this case, and I can speak generally to how law enforcement and the FBI do things in situations like this. Nancy, you know probably better than anyone from your career, in a criminal investigation, the first 48 hours of the investigation is the crucial point of following leads, chasing down leads, and typically in a missing person situation, here in Austin, here in Texas, for example, law enforcement won't even take a missing persons case for 72 hours. They'll do a welfare check, they'll go knock on the door, but they won't formally initiate a missing persons report until 72 hours are gone by. And of course, at that point, you've already lost the first 48 hours, the most crucial time period during a criminal investigation. And that is an inherent problem.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're entirely right. You're hearing Alan Bennett joining us out of Austin, to Brian Fitzgibbons joining us. Brian Fitzgibbons, Director of Operation USPA Nationwide Security, leads his team of investigators specializing in finding missing people. And just so you know, former Marine and Iraqi war vet. Brian, thank you for being with us. So I think Alan Bennett, former felony prosecutor, is correct. Those first 48 hours are so critical. Explain why, Brian.
Absolutely, Nancy. And Alan, you really hit the nail on the head there. We lose so much information as time transpires here. And I have to really, Elaine, I have to applaud you for the amount of work that you've done to intake tips, intake leads, and process this information. It's a tremendous amount of information that comes in to the family during a missing persons case. And as Alan mentioned, now we're over a year into this, and we've got a picture from these tipsters of, you know, where, who, why, what was transpiring on the 6th. We've got a picture beginning to be painted, but there are obviously a lot of gaps that need to be followed up by law enforcement.
So the first 48, I mean, they've even created a TV program about it. It's so critical because why? In a nutshell, Brian?
In a nutshell, that's where you're going to get your best information, your most relevant and active information that can be followed up upon right away. So when this reporting, when that time goes by, 72 hours, 96 hours, we're losing opportunities to follow up on these immediate leads.
A couple of quick questions to Steve Melling, joining us from 14 News in Evansville. Steve, when she walked out of the house of her grandparents' home where she was living, when she walks out with an overnight bag, did she get into a car? Did she hail a cab, an Uber? Did she catch a bus? Are there any Ring doorbell cams in the area that caught whose car she got into? I mean, what do we know about the day that she left?
Well, police, obviously, you know, our latest updates from police as far as where this case stands, where she could have gone, you know, as has been mentioned before, folks saying she was last seen in Oakland City, which is about, you know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes and change north of Evansville. So in retrospect to the roads that we have here, we have two major highways that could lead up that way, of whether it's on Highway 41 or Interstate 69 can lead us up to Oakland City. So it's not by a far stretch of the imagination that that could have been the last place that she was seen. But according to police, I mean, if there was any video that could have been seen of her leaving, we have not received that from police. At least has not been publicly released by police.
Okay, let's think about that. Ella Garcia, you hear Steve Mellon and Brian Fitzgibbon, Alan Bennett speaking. Elaine, do Andy's grandparents have a Ring doorcam? Is there any surveillance video in their home?
Yes, ma'am. They do have a Ring doorcam.
Was that retrieved?
No. From my understanding, it wasn't.
Did you look at it?
No. Wasn't shown to me.
Okay. You do know that the family is the repository. Like, if I want to look at my Ring camera, I can look on my phone and see what happened last. It's not the police are going to give it to you. You have to look at it yourself. It belongs to your grandparents. If they've got a Ring doorbell cam, did you ever look at it?
No, ma'am. They never offered dirt. I asked. They never, I don't know how to say it. They never willingly say, hey, do you want to look at the Ring cam?
You're Andy's mom. Did you ever say, I'm trying to find Andy. I need to look at the Ring cam to see what kind of car she got into?
Yes, ma'am.
You said that, and they wouldn't give it to you?
Did they not show it to me? No.
Why?
I don't know. They did show one other female, but they didn't show it to me.
Okay. Now I'm getting somewhere. And remember, everybody, I'm a JD, not a DDS. Don't know how to pull teeth. So, Elaine Garcia, there is video, and they showed it to somebody else. And what, if anything, does it reveal?
I don't know. From my understanding is that this female went to the Wagners, took screenshots of the cam of whatever car picked her up, and then this is what I was told. I'm not 100% sure that this is true, but what I was told that it was deleted after that.
Do you know what kind of vehicle it was?
Nancy, myself, I don't know, but from my understanding, it was a red vehicle. I don't know what kind, what type. I just was told it was a red vehicle.
Okay, I am very, very confused right now, Steve Melling. Steve Melling joining us from 14 News as to what exactly is happening in this case. You've got a 24-year-old girl who walks out of her grandparents' house with an overnight bag to go visit friends. She's never seen again. And nobody obtained the Ring doorcam video to show me what kind of car she got into. Is this real?
As far as I'm aware, you know, a very common for us, at least in this area, during the active investigations, police aren't going to release any necessarily any video that they, you know, can concretely tie unless, you know, they feel like there is a strong indication, you know, that say, you know, we had another missing persons case here where there was a surveillance video of a woman who got into a Chevy Suburban, and the FBI worked with EPD on that case and they ended up releasing that video. So I haven't asked police specifically if there is, you know, Ring doorbell footage of her leaving. So I can't concretely say whether or not they have that video.
Like, where do the grandparents live?
They live off Oak Hill. Very nice subdivision. Has a huge library. Oak Hill Library.
Elaine Garcia, am I correct in believing that the grandparents' home is near Oak Hill Library?
Yes, ma'am. It's right off of Lynch. You go down Oak Hill and it goes downhill and there's this huge Oak Hill Library.
So it seems to me, and I want to go back to you, Brian Fitzgibbons, that the first thing you do is obtain the security cam from the library, from the red lights at either end of the street. If there is a cam, you pass businesses, you get their cams to try to piece together and figure out what red car she was in. That's number one. Number two, at the same time, I would be working on pings from her phone. Take a listen to our friends at Crime Online.
On August 12th, the Evansville Police Department sends out a missing person announcement to local media. The report says 24-year-old Andy Wagner was reported missing by a family member, and the last time they had any contact with her was on August 6th. Wagner is described as 5'6", 115 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Andy has a mole near her upper lip and several tattoos. She has her mother's name on her forearm, a small rocket on her left ankle, and one with Roman numerals. She was last seen wearing an orange tank top and jeans.
An orange tank top and jeans. Now see, that would show up on security video. What, if anything, can you tell me, Elaine Garcia, about your daughter's cell phone habits? Did she normally answer calls? Did she normally return texts?
Yes. Now, I mean, not 100% of the time, but she would eventually. If I didn't hear from her in a day or two, I would definitely hear from her like the third or fourth day. She always kept in contact with me to let me know she was doing okay. She kept in contact with her grandmother and her sister.
And so all contact ceased on August 6th?
Yes. When I found out that she was missing, I called her number. It was answered, and it was hung up. I called again. I was restricted.
Had she ever restricted you before, Ms. Garcia?
No, ma'am.
So, Dr. John Della Torre joining us now, licensed psychologist specializing in forensic psychology. Dr. Della Torre, thank you for being with us. If she had never blocked her mother before in her whole life, after 24 years of living, I find it very difficult to believe that she would block her mother now.
Well, I totally agree. And as you described before about a person's routine, a person's routine is deeply inset in how they're going to behave from one day to the next. The only thing that would force someone to deviate from their routine is if there's something in distress that's happening. So they could be overwhelmed with something, or someone else has interrupted the person's routine, that there is a second person, potentially even a third person, that has come into that person's life and completely upended that person's routine.
You know what it brings to mind, Dr. Della Torre? It brings to mind, or to me anyway, Gabby Petito, who went on a cross-country trip in her Ford Transit with her then-fiancé, Brian Laundry. And after he had murdered her, he came back using her credit card, using her Ford Transit, and he had her phone, and he had access and control over her phone, and he would text her family, accept or deny phone calls from her family, pretending to be her. So, comparing that to this case where Elaine tries to call Andy, the person picks up and hangs up when she realizes it's the mom, and then she immediately calls back and she's been blocked. What do you make of that, Dr. Della Torre?
Yeah, with Laundry, this is someone who wants to make sure that that crime stays unheard of, right? It remains hidden. A behavior like this could signify that the person recognizes that the phone could be used to mark wherever it is that it's being held at. So they answer it to see if something is going on, but then immediately shut it down.
Right.
So it's certainly possible that the person is just simply trying to eliminate contact at all.
Elaine, in your whole history with your daughter, Andy, who's just, by the way, beautiful young girl, had she ever blocked you before? You're saying no, correct?
No, she's never blocked me. No matter how mad or any arguments that we had, she would never block me.
And question, had she ever gone this long before and stay out of contact with you and her family ever?
Absolutely not. Especially, and I'm not trying to make anybody else look or make myself look bad, especially with me. Andy reached out to me every time she needed help, every time she felt like she was about to be in trouble. She reached out to me. Our thing when I was raising them was open communication. I said to them, if you do something or something happens, I may get mad, but I'm going to get over it and we're going to get through it together. So Andy has never blocked me because she's always told me what was going on in her life.
Joining me right now is one of the founders of Brothers Underwater Recovery, a search and rescue dive team, also searches on land, who has been helping in the search for Andy. And you can find them online at Brothers underwater recovery. Ronnie, thank you for being with us. Tell me about your efforts trying to find this beautiful young girl, Andy.
We have searched a lot of the strip pits and things. We've had some information come in to myself and Miss Garcia that, you know, there may be a boat involved in this case. So we're strictly, we do a lot of land searching, but mainly we do waterways with sonar technology. And that's what we're focused on mainly. At this point, there's over 300 strip pits in that area, and we're just trying to eliminate them all.
You know what's interesting in this case, or so many things, that she could just drop off the map, and there seemingly has been no real searches for her. We tried to contact police. I find that very, very unusual. I mean, I think or thought we were all on the same team trying to find Andy. And as a matter of fact, Ms. Garcia, I recently did a crime alert about Andy's disappearance. Shortly after that crime alert, you had a meeting with law enforcement in which they basically scolded you for speaking about the case publicly. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Why? Why do they not want you to bring attention to Andy's case?
I don't know, Ms. Nancy. I honestly do not know.
I'm trying to make sense of what we know right now. We have a little more information. Take a listen to this.
After moving to Evansville from Texas to help find her daughter, Elaine Garcia and others organized a Facebook group, Where is Andy, to raise awareness about the case and help coordinate grassroots efforts to locate Wagner. Garcia has also spoke to local media outlets about her ongoing efforts to find her daughter. Police believe Andy Wagner was last seen in Oakland City, Indiana.
Okay, explain that to me. Steve Melling joining us from 14 News. So she's not last seen in Evansville. Now I understand she's last seen in Oakland City, about 40 minutes away.
Yeah, last I've heard from Evansville Police, the last update regarding, you know, where her whereabouts could be was that police believe that she was last seen up in Oakland City, which is about 40, 45 minutes north of Evansville, up in Gibson County, which is a county above Vandenberg, right at the highway.
Now, when do we believe that sighting was?
I don't believe that they gave us a specific date on that disappearance, but I believe it was pretty recent to August 6th. I believe it was either August 6th or August 7th. They believe they saw her last.
Elaine Garcia, Andy Wagner's mom. What? Tell me about the sighting of her in Oakland City, 40 minutes south of Evansville.
So I was given a tip that she had been picked up from Newburgh to Oakland City. I have one tip, sir, that said that they literally saw her get out of a vehicle with three other guys. And that was the last that they saw her.
Is this a person that knows Andy?
No, but recognized her flyers.
Are these flyers that you put up?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you believe the person was credible?
I don't know because I don't know them personally. They sound like an older couple.
Ronnie, are you familiar with this sighting?
I am familiar with, you know, Ms. Garcia telling me about it, yes.
Okay, what if anything, do you know about the sighting? Should we believe it or not?
They seem like an older couple, like Ms. Garcia said.
Well, I hear you saying older. Are they blind? I mean, they saw the flyer. They see the girl. They call the number. You got two people. You say a couple. That's two people identify this girl. I mean, are they drunk? Are they high? Are they blind? Can they not see? Were the lighting conditions bad? Was it the dead of night? Do we believe the sighting? Guys, this could not be more critical.
And that's what that was one of the questions I asked this person. Why didn't you call it in?
Okay, wait, they did call it in. That's how you found out about them, right?
Months later, they reached out to me on Messenger.
Oh, okay.
Because I was posting about Andy and posting pictures.
So have you gone to meet with them?
No.
Why?
They don't want a lot of these, Miss Nancy, a lot of these people that come to me don't want to
Get involved.
Be involved. They don't want, you know, I have asked, can we meet? Can we talk on, you know, no.
So it's not from your lack of trying.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, Alan Bennett joining me, former prosecutor, now partner at Gunter Bennett and Anthus. Alan, I've seen it a million times, and I believe Elaine Garcia is right. I think that it is an amazing blessing that they even responded on the internet to her. People don't want to get involved. They don't want anything to do with it. And so many cases go unsolved. Missing people remain missing because witnesses are afraid to come forward. I think Elaine is telling it exactly the way it happened.
I am puzzled about law enforcement's handling of potential evidence in this case. Ring cameras, HALO footage, H-A-L-O, the law enforcement footage we see at intersections after 9/11. If there's a missing person, law enforcement typically puts every scrap of evidence they can into the media with the questions, has anyone seen this car? Does anyone recognize this car? Does anyone recognize this person? I'm puzzled as to why law enforcement declines the opportunity to come onto your show. They would take every opportunity available to continue to get that message out. Those things puzzle me.
And you know what? Another thing, Alan Bennett, following up on what you're saying, there may be a perfectly innocent explanation about what police are doing. You know, I used to have a judge, he was the best judge in the courthouse, by the way, and he was in his 80s. And he would tell juries, it is your duty to make all the witnesses speak the truth, impugning perjury on no one. In other words, it's your duty to go back in that jury deliberation room and make all the puzzle pieces fit together and assume nobody's lying. I don't want to assume the police have done a bad job. They may know a lot that they can't or won't say. So I don't want to impugn them now. I do think they need to communicate with Andy's mother better than they're doing. That does not mean they have dropped the case. Now, why they wouldn't come on with me, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know this. There is a credible sighting by not one, but two people out of Oakland City, Indiana, Newburg. So we may have an issue of crossing state lines. And if we cross state lines, that's a perfect opportunity for the FBI to get involved. Steve Melling, is the FBI involved?
Last we checked, I believe this is just a strictly Evansville police case.
Okay. Yes.
And I do want to just clarify one thing for you. Oakland City is 45 minutes north of Evansville. So it is north. So you would have to drive about an hour to get to the border of Kentucky.
How far is Kentucky from Oakland City?
I'd say probably about 50 minutes to an hour.
Where is Newburg in that case?
Newburg is just east of Evansville. Mm-hmm. So it's about 15 minutes east. And so from Newburg to Oakland City, you're talking about probably the same amount of time it takes to get to Evansville. It's probably about 45 minutes.
But I would like to ask Miss Nancy, if you don't mind.
Please jump in.
Is why when Andy left with this individual and took her to his place, why was not, and I don't know if they have or they didn't, but I haven't gotten a straight answer. Has anybody in that area where he lived, did they ask any of the neighbors for ring cams?
Okay, let's back it up just a moment. You're telling me you believe she got in the car with the guy that took her to his place? You already know that?
Yes. Yes, I was told who she was with, where she went to Newburg. And now this person is claiming that he was asleep and Andy, he went to sleep at 2:00 and Andy left at 2:30 in the morning.
Ronnie, joining us from Brothers Underwater Recovery, also searches on land. He's been working on this case. What can you tell me about a tip that Andy was taken by a guy to his place? And now that guy, who I'm not going to name, is claiming he was asleep? and that she left? Okay, what can you tell me about that?
So supposedly she was picked up from the grandparents and took to Newburgh. This was a guy that she was supposedly seeing, which I do believe actually also has a girlfriend or a wife. And anyway, she was staying there with him. And this guy supposedly went to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then Andy went to leave at 2:30. But if he was asleep, how could he know that she left at 2:30? And if I'm not mistaken, Ms. Garcia, isn't this the same residence that somebody's seen Andy outside the residence and a couple of guys grabbed her, took her back in the house?
Yes.
Right there is where this case needs to be in Newburgh, because you've got not only the couple claiming that they saw her in Oakland City, which is not far from Newburgh. I think I've got the geography right. Now you've got more than one witness placing her at this apartment with this guy that we believe to be married. And the last thing he wants is for it to get out that he's seeing this young 24-year-old girl. Yeah, I don't think his wife would take kindly to that. So let me ask you, Brian Fitzgibbons, Director of Operations at USPA Nationwide Security, that's where the investigation needs to be. We've got multiple sightings of her in this area and maybe even at this apartment.
You're absolutely right, Nancy. And having had a chance to go over some of these tips with both Ronnie and Elaine prior to the show, I can tell you that there's something to the pattern and the volume of tips around this crew of people that surround that Newburgh apartment, that, you know, some of these tips are anonymous. Some of these tips are from people that are non-anonymous, but there is a high number of tips that surround Andy going to this apartment in Newburgh. And that is indeed where this investigation needs to go as quickly as possible.
Okay. Ronnie, joining us from Brothers Underwater Recovery, what can you tell me about police investigation in Newburgh?
As far as I know, there is not one. Supposedly she went to a party the next night after she left that house, which was in Oakland City. That's why this investigation has went to Oakland City.
So she was spotted August the 7th at a party in Oakland City. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And Steve Melling, how far away is Oakland City from Newburgh?
About 45 minutes.
Well, she's got to be getting from place to place somehow. Somebody is giving her a ride. Elaine Garcia, what about pinging her phone? Has that happened?
It has happened, but I cannot remember if they said it pinged in Newburgh or it pinged in Evansville. But in my opinion, I think they did something to my daughter, brought her phone back into town and used it to ping it to make it look like she was in town.
When you say in town, you mean Evansville?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know the last ping on her phone? Was it in Evansville?
No.
So we've got her alive the night of the 7th, and something goes wrong the night of August the 7th. If you have information on this girl, 24-year-old Andy Wagner, please dial 812-436-4012. Repeat, 812-436-4012. The search for Andy goes on. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.